Oh, praise. Praise be to you, O God. You are mighty. You are awesome. You are holy. All of our worship is due you. Father, we praise you. We praise your holy name. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Spirit. Oh, Spirit, move. Move upon hearts that we would praise you more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Good morning, Grace Fellowship Church. I was reminded this week a number of different times of a command that we believers have been given in 1 John chapter 2. There's a present tense, active voice, imperative or command that's given us. It says this: do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. We see here the love of the world is pitted against or juxtaposed to the love of God. We have to remember, brothers and sisters, that we cannot give our attention, our affection, our loyalty to the world and the things of the world, and our affection, our attention, and our loyalty to God. Jesus clearly says we cannot love God and mammon. The world is passing away, we see here. That's the truth of the matter is what will you have? What will I have when we die? Naked, we came into the world, and naked we will leave. So all these things in the world are passing away. Nothing we see, actually even the physical bodies of the people we see, nothing we see will be in glory. It says, then, we are to be doing the will of God. Why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? Jesus says in a rhetorical question. We are to not love the world and the things of the world. And I know people, you know, we like to soften the blow sometimes. At least I do. And, well, we can enjoy the things that God's given us. Yes. Yes. And we're not to love the world or the things in the world, because that is juxtaposed to loving God. All that's in the world is passing away. Nothing will go with us. God, the love of God, that remains forever. And that is our focus. That's where our attention, our affection, and our loyalties ought lie. Now remember, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. No one is being condemned that's in Christ with these words I'm speaking today or that John wrote. God will keep his people, and he will keep his people. And one of the ways he keeps us is by sanctifying us by the truth, and his word is the truth. And we are to be reminded not to love the world or the things in the world. And we are being reminded of that. Be encouraged. Be agitated to love and good works. Let's be spurred on. Let's be stirred up to love God and not love the things of this world. Again, thanking God and enjoying the things he's given us. I really, you know, particularly this week, I enjoyed my wife and I enjoyed my sons and my daughters and my family, my grandchildren. And I love my family in a way that I believe God would have me to love my family. So having pleasure in those things is far different than clinging to them and loving them, and even loving them more than I would love God. I can't love the things of the world more than I love God. We cannot serve God and mammon stuff. We serve God. And with that, He provides. And He provides all sorts of things for us to enjoy, but not to love. Amen? Okay, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. And Luke is continuing to give an orderly account of concerning the life and ministry of Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, the Lord. And he's doing that in order that we may have certainty of what we've been taught, just like Theophilus. He's recently taking us from the casting out of a demon in a man in Capernaum to healing Peter's mother-in-law of a fever, to healing all of the disease around Capernaum. Had such a great following then. Last week we saw he was looking to preach by the Sea of Galilee, and there were so many people that were pressing on him, he had to get in a boat to go out and preach. And then he did a miracle of 2 boatloads of fish. And we saw Peter seeing God, seeing who he was in light of who God is, and seeing himself as one that couldn't even be around Jesus, and Jesus telling him, don't be afraid, and raising him up to then be a fisher of men. And that brings us to today, where Luke is going to show us the willingness of Jesus to cleanse. This is so very encouraging to consider. I hope you'll be encouraged as much as I was preparing. So please stand and I'll read verses 12 through 16 of Luke 5. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. He charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. You may be seated. As we see this story of the leper that we're all fairly familiar with, we see Jesus' willingness to cleanse him. I want us all to consider the spiritual uncleanliness of every human being. And I want us to consider Jesus' willingness to cleanse. So Jesus' fame was spreading. He was going throughout Galilee preaching. He's preaching the word of God with authority and with power. He was performing miracles. The crowds were getting bigger and bigger, as we'll continue to see, as his reputation for doing miraculous signs was growing. And we see here, while he was in one of the cities, so we don't know which city, neither Mark 1 and Matthew 8 describe this same event, and none of them say the city that it was in, but he was in one of the cities. There came a man full of leprosy. The Bible has a lot to say concerning leprosy. God has singled out leprosy as a disease that has a special level of filth and consequence. Matter of fact, Leviticus 13 and 14, 2 entire chapters in the book of the law, are dedicated to leprosy. And the diagnosis of, and then the bringing the leper back into society after a ritual cleansing. So leprosy is something that we kind of need to understand and to consider, because it's important for God and who He is and revealing Himself and through Christ. So the Greek root for the word leprosy is lepis, and the word means to scale or peel off. Scaly, not a smooth surface, the scale of a fish. So it just means scaly. Scaly or to peel off, that's what the word means. And in biblical times, leprosy was and is still, but was a skin disease. Now, anything from psoriasis to ringworm would have been called a skin disease or under this category of lepis. But as we see it dealt with in Leviticus, they had to determine what it was. But if it was leprosy, as we know leprosy, which is now more known as Hansen's disease, this is what's being talked about with most of your scriptures as far as how to deal with leprosy. This is a disease that it partially may be, but they used to think it ate away at your flesh. Because leprosy, a leper would have sores and scales and their fingers would actually be becoming smaller, becoming more nub-like. Their facial features would be going away. And so there is maybe some sense that it's a disease that eats from the inside the flesh. But really what it actually is, as we've come to understand in more recent times, is it attacks the nervous system. It attacks the nervous system. And what it does is it tells you, it takes any feeling away from your flesh. So what actually happens to a leper is they can't feel stimuli. If they put their hand onto a hot coal, they wouldn't feel it. It would simply burn their flesh and they would not feel it. If they have a toe that they scrape along the ground, that toe would get infected and they wouldn't feel it, could get infected, and basically they would just wear out the skin. So what leprosy does, it causes the person to even rub and scratch and claw at themselves to where they tear away their flesh. It usually started on the forehead or the face, and then it would attack, if you will, the other nerve places. You would see a white spot, and you'd see a white spot on the body. And as we looked at Leviticus before, they would check that white spot, and they would try to determine whether or not it was leprosy. But the leper would be one who eventually would get many open sores on their body. They would have open, pussy sores, flaky skin that would turn to that. They would have digits and ears and nose and mouth and eye sockets that would be wasting away. So that would start small and then it would work its way bigger. So we see here that while Jesus was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. The word pleris, full, completely, a totality of fullness. So this man who he's dealing with is a full-blown leper. Like a leper would look something like this, possibly. You would see their face would have tearing away of the flesh. Their hands would have nubs where the fingers had been worn down. This is what it would look like. A leper would look like. This is what the man might look like that came to see Jesus that day. He would have had facial features. He would have had a horrible odor about him. The rotting of flesh is what would be smelled. You ever smelled rotten flesh? That's what that man would smell like. And that's what he would look like. He would have nubs for fingers and stubs for toes and eye sockets and ears and noses that were a nose that was being taken away as he would be rubbing himself and scratching himself and taking away his flesh. It was a very unsightly and nasty disease. It is. It still exists to this day. And this is what this man would have looked like. He was full of leprosy. He was unsightly. He was detestable. He was smelly, I'm sure. He would have had oozing ulcers and open sores. And this picture, habit is not in color, you know, scabs and blood and scraping and flaking. This was the condition of a leper that would have been full of leprosy. This was a very common thing in Israel, as we just talked about it throughout the scriptures. And we saw last week in Luke 4:27, or 2 weeks ago, there were many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha. Leprosy was a very common thing. Interesting, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman, we'll get to this more, Naaman the Syrian. Look, Miriam was cured of leprosy, but that was before the law was completely revealed. From the time the Mosaic law was completely revealed, we see no accountings of leprosy ever being cured until this day. This time we see right here with Jesus. Leprosy was a disease that you got and was incurable and was going to take its course. Leprosy is nasty. It causes one to be extremely unsightly and undesirable. We see in the law of Moses in Leviticus 13, here's how a leper was to interact with the people, with God. Leviticus 13:45, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. He's not to live within city limits. That leper is to be outside the gates. He's unclean. He's to be separated from God's people. He's to be separated from where God dwells. He cannot dwell near God because he is unclean. Numbers 5:2. Command the people of Israel that they put out of the camp everyone who is leprous or has a discharge, and everyone who is unclean through contact with the dead. So if they had leprosy, you shall put out both male and female, putting them outside the camp, that they may not defile their camp, in the midst of which I dwell. And the people of Israel did so, and put them outside the camp, as the Lord said to Moses, so the people of Israel did. The life of the leper was a life separated from God and his people. Complete isolation. Except for the other lepers who were rotting and stinking and rubbing their flesh away as well. Unclean lepers could not dwell with God and his people. This man who came to Jesus was lonely. He was isolated. He was unclean. Miriam and Aaron had spoken against Moses. And we see leprosy as a punishment of God in Numbers 12:9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, Miriam and Aaron, and he departed. When the cloud removed from the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous like snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Leprosy was a punishment of God upon Miriam. It was a sign of God's judgment for those who sinned against him. So lepers were thought to be, again, in all throughout Judaism or Israel in the time of Jesus, lepers were thought to be under the judgment of God. Therefore, they needed to be avoided. One, because you might get the contagious disease, but two, because they're under the judgment of God, you don't want to go near them. In the story of Uzziah, the king of Judah, Uzziah was ruling well and having military success for Judah. And then 2 Chronicles 26:16. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. for he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and will bring you no honor from the Lord God. In other words, you're a king, you're not a priest, you're not to be in here doing this, get out. Then Uzziah was angry. Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and when he became angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out because the Lord had struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. And being a leper, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. Uzziah was separated from the house of the Lord, the temple, until the day he died because of his leprosy. Leprosy was God's judgment against him. And that leprosy separated from God because he was unclean. Lepers were unclean. They were put out of God's presence. And another thing that was true of leprosy, it was incurable by man. There was no cure. The story of Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army. Very mighty, it says. And he was a leper. Now in his conquest, one of his conquests, he brought an Israel, a girl from Judah, back with him. And she basically told her mistress, the lady, the queen's wife, why don't you have a prophet from Israel come and he can get rid of Naaman's leprosy? Because God can do that through a prophet. And so then, 2 Kings 5:5, and the king of Syria said, go now and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, when this letter reaches you, this is from the king of Syria to the king of Israel, you know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy. So he's wanting the leprosy cured by the king of Israel. And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive? That man sends word to me to cure a man of leprosy? He says, no one can cure leprosy. Only God can cure leprosy. This king of Syria is trying to pick a fight with me. He's trying to antagonize me to tell me to go to remove this leprosy from this man. No one can cure leprosy except God. Leprosy is a horrible disease. Causes separation from God in the scriptures, from his people, and it's something that cannot be cured by anyone except God. It is completely debilitating. It will literally cause you to decay and rot. Look at Psalm 38:3-8. There's no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There's no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I'm utterly bowed down and prostrate. All the day I go about mourning. For my sides are filled with burning and there's no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. This is what leprosy does. The flesh and the bones and the wounds. This outward disease. Isaiah 1:5-6. Why will you still be struck down? Why you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds that are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. Unclean, raw wounds. From the head, the whole heart, all the way to the toe. Unclean, sick and bruised. Isaiah 64. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. All people have become unclean. Do we all have leprosy? No, we're all unclean. And what way are we unclean? We're unclean in that our souls are like this leper. They're nasty. They're stinky. Outside of God, they're separated from God. Our souls are that way. There's a parallel here. This man is not necessarily being saved. But there's a picture here of a stinky, corroding man with a disease that has him separated from God and his people. And his sin, like our sin, makes us unclean before God. Our sin causes us to be separated from God. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. He can't even look upon us because we are so repulsive. Everyone is born a spiritual leper. You know, the conscience, it talks about the conscience being seared. As we go along, our conscience becomes seared like the nerve endings, and we don't even know the damage we're doing to ourselves through our sin. We just keep sinning, and as we grow older without Christ, our sin becomes greater because our conscience becomes more seared. And like that leper, we are literally destroying ourselves and cannot see it. And we're ugly and vile. And God can't look upon us. Just like this leper, our sins make us unclean. As spiritual lepers, we are rotten inside, full of sores and stench. This is what our insides look like to God. Like lepers, we cannot be cured by anyone but God. We are done for, if not for a God who is willing to heal us. Listen, today some of you need to listen to what I'm saying. You might look put together on the outside. You might be relatively moral and well behaved, but inside you are like this leper. And if you cannot come to a knowledge of that, come to an understanding of that, you will find yourself fine before God in the way you look at life. We are spiritual lepers. Everyone is born that way. It's hard to think that way, isn't it? But we're going to see now how this leper interacts with Jesus Christ and how spiritual lepers must interact with Christ. Well, he was in one of the cities. Now, interestingly, this leper was in one of the cities. Where was he supposed to be? Outside. He had the audacity to come into the city with his stinky, nasty self. He was in the city. And there came a man full of leprosy. This man was inside of the city gates, and he came to Jesus with his rotting flesh, his open sores, his smelly wounds, who's supposed to be outside of the city gates, separated from God and his people. Jesus was in the city, and this disgusting, unsightly, smelly leper came to Jesus. This man was desperate. This man was desperate. He was an outcast from God and from people. He was being kept away from the goodness of God, the presence of God, the presence of God's people. And so the leper comes, the leper humbles himself before the Lord. And when the leper saw Jesus, he fell, pipto, fall down, prostrate oneself, bow down. In Matthew's gospel, the word we know well, proskuneu, he bowed down, he fell down before the Lord. And he fell to his face and he begged him. Deomai. He pled. He begged. He asked for with urgency. This leprous man bowed before Jesus, begging to him for help. Help me. Look at me. No one touches me. No one talks to me. Everyone runs from me. I am despicable. I am under the judgment of God. I cannot heal myself. Help me. He was hopeless. He'd heard about Jesus' healings. He'd heard about this guy, Jesus of Nazareth. He heard about his mercy and grace. And he asked him, "Are you willing?" He saw Jesus. He fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." This disgusting, unclean man begged Jesus, saying, "Lord, Kurios, hey, I know you can rebuke fevers. I know you can heal diseases. I know you can cast out demons. You are Kurios. You're the owner of all." You can, dunamai, to where we get dynamite from. You are able. You are powerful. You can. You have the power. I'm dirty, but you have the power to make me clean. I am a leper, but you have the power to make me well. You have the power to cleanse me. You are a prophet from God. Lord, if you will, thelo, to will, to desire, to want, to wish. If you want to, if you desire to, you can help me, says the leper to Jesus. You're under no obligation. I don't deserve your help. I am unclean. Clearly. I am most probably under the judgment of God, and it's showing in my failing body. But if you're willing, you can, says the leper to Jesus. You have the power, if you want to, make me clean. Katharizo, to cleanse, to purify, to cleanse from ritual contamination or impurity. You can make me pure. You can cleanse me. You can take away this contamination. This man is begging for the mercy of God, knowing he was a disgusting, shameful, stinking man with rotting flesh, and he needed help. And he says, "You're powerful enough, but are you willing?" It's like David. And David's talking about his sinfulness, not about his rotting flesh. He's talking about his soul when he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. This leopard in that spirit is coming to Jesus for physical cleansing from the dirtiness of his leprosy. David wanted cleansing of his soul due to his sin. This is what we see in the leper, this humility, this desperation. His boldness to come into the city as a leper and fall down before Jesus and say, I know you have the power. Do you wish to make me well? Cleanse me. And the highlight of this whole passage is Jesus is willing. Look at this response. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Jesus did not reject this nasty looking man. There's no rabbi, no priest, no Pharisee that would come within 100 yards of that man. Matter of fact, they had a rule. You could not get within 6 feet of a leper. And if you were downwind, you could not be within 150 feet of him or her. No one would come near that person for fear they might catch the disease or come under the wrath of God, because they too were with this man who was being punished. Mark's accounting, moved with pity. Splanchnisomai. We've looked at this word before. Splanchnisomai is to be moved as to one's bowels. Hence, to be moved with compassion. The Greeks and the Jews thought that the bowels were the place that compassion came from. And so he was moved with pity. Here's this man who's a horrible sight to look at. Unclean. And he looks at him and he has pity and he stretches out his hand and he touched him. This man was pitiable. It was gross to look at. That stench, and he's been put out of his family and away from the city. He probably has not been touched for years. Probably has not anyone touch him. My mom misses my dad because she doesn't have touch, so she'll get a back rub or rubby. She misses touch. This man probably had not been touched for years. No one would even come near him. And yet Jesus touched him. Haptomai, to touch, with the implication of relatively firm contact. He didn't just touch him, he touched him. He embraced him. This nasty, rotten, dirty, stinky man who knew he was without hope and couldn't cure himself, and turned to the one he knew could do the curing and the healing and asked to be cleansed if he was willing. Jesus could have healed. Lazarus, come out. Lazarus came out. He talked to the wind. He did not have to touch this man to heal him, but he touched this man. He had no fear. He had no fear of this contamination taking hold of him. Quite the opposite. He was going to contaminate this man with purity, with cleanliness. You cannot contaminate Jesus by going to him. He will contaminate you with purity and righteousness and cleanliness. Don't wait till you're clean to come, because you can never come. You're dirty. You're dying, dead, separated from God because of sin. It's nasty. It's stinky. It's gross. And quite frankly, people don't really want to touch you. but Christ is willing. People really don't want to fix your nasty problems unless they get something out of it. Certainly not those that aren't God's people. But Jesus is willing. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will. I wish. I want. I desire. Jesus is willing to heal this man. This man who came to him in brokenness and humility, begging. You see, this is what it is to believe on Jesus Christ. See, believing on Jesus Christ, it is as simple, we'll look in a while, as believing on Christ, confessing him as Lord. But what that comes with the understanding of is, I am a spiritual leper. My sin has me separated from my Creator. And I'm without hope outside of Jesus Christ. Jesus, as he says, I will. He doesn't say, I can. Obviously, Jesus is able. He is God. Of course he's able. He's able. Look, he can move fish in a sea. He can control the winds. He can rebuke a fever. Of course he is able. But this loathsome, decadent leper wondered if he was willing. And Jesus says, Thelo, I will, I desire, I want, I wish. I desire, I wish to cleanse you of your uncleanliness. If you come to him in humility, that is the guaranteed response. Jesus, able and willing to save. If you come in brokenness, recognizing your need for a Savior. See, we have to see that Jesus is not only able, but he is willing to cleanse sinners from the filthiness of their sin. See, if Jesus was simply full of compassion and desired to save sinners, but he didn't have the power, our hope would be futile. And by the same token, if Jesus had the power to save wretches from their sin, but lacked the willingness, our hope would be equally futile. It's not that he just has the power, it's that he's willing. It's not just that he's willing, he has the power. See, our hope is not futile, brothers and sisters. Jesus is both able and completely willing to save those who know they are sick, spiritually corroded and loathsome. And they come to Jesus to be cleansed. Luke 5:31, and Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. He came to save sinners who know they're sick. This leper knew he was sick, didn't he? He knew he was outside of God's city gates. He knew he was ostracized from God. He knew he was under the wrath of God. He knew he could do nothing to cure himself. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call, not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Do you know you're a sinner? Romans 10:9-10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That's talking about salvation. The leper here was just being healed, but this is exactly what the leper said. You can. You're Lord. You have the power. But are you willing? John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. I want you to believe what I'm telling you. If you actually recognize and see your hopelessness, your separation from God due to your sin, due to your spiritual leprosy, if you see that you are not right with God, you cannot be right with God, and there's nothing you can do about that. And in that humility and brokenness, you come and you confess Jesus Christ. You come, the Father brings you. You come to Christ, rest assured, He's willing. You don't have to. You have to come knowing you need His mercy. You can't come as if you don't need it. Confessing Him as Lord that you really don't need. But if you come, trust me, He's standing willing. He will stare a sinner right in the eyes and say, I'm willing, you wretched, dirty thing. Here I am. Come. I will. Present tense. Ongoingly. Jesus right now is saying, I'm willing, I will. I will. I wish. I desire. I want. For those that the Father brings Him, if you come understanding your need, recognizing your spiritual muck, rottenness, stench, but you cannot come believing you're already okay, then what do you need Jesus for? Jesus was able and willing, and therefore immediately the leprosy left him. Think about this. Shriveled hands, stubs became complete. This face that has sores and a nose that's going away and ears healed. The stench, the open sores, gone. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What a powerful, compassionate God we serve, beloved. Powerful, compassionate God. You, if you don't know Christ, I am telling you the truth. This picture of outward decadence of a leper is what your soul is like inside before God. Rotten to the core. Verse 14, he charged him to tell no one. He told this miraculously healed man to not tell anyone. I think there's a couple of reasons. One, because his fame would continue to spread. But what he tells us here in the text is there was something else he wanted him to do instead. Don't tell anyone. Go and show yourself to the priest. Where would that have been? That would have been in Jerusalem. Go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a proof to them. He's to go to the priest and those high priests around him. And he's to go and he's to make an offering. Just like Moses commanded in Leviticus 14. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, this shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest and the priest shall go out of the camp and the priest shall look. Then if the case of the leprous disease is healed in the leprous person, and then it goes on. So here's what that looked like. If a person had a skin disease that went away, if he was cured, he or she was cured, he would go to the priest. The priest would actually go outside the gates because you can't take the risk of them coming in. And the priest would look at them. And if they saw that they were clean, they'd get a certificate that they had the 8 days of cleanliness. And they pronounced them clean. Then they would go through this whole ritual to bring them back into right standing in the community. They would, a couple of birds would be killed over running water, and the man would wash himself in his clothes, and all this ceremonial things that would take place after he was cured. It wouldn't cure him, right? It didn't cure him to do this cleansing. It was after he was cured, he would be cleansed. So this leper now is going to go to the priest and say, guess what? I'm cured. Now I need to do these things that bring me back into the community, but I'm already cured because you see the law that said do this after they're clean, all the law could do would be condemn these people with leprosy. The law could not heal them. And this was the testimony, the Mosaic law testimony that this leper was going to bring to the high priest. This man, Jesus, he healed me. Only God can do that. That's who healed me. Now, bring me back into right standing according to the law that hasn't been completely fulfilled yet. We don't need to do that anymore, but back then, Jesus is still here. He has not ascended. The law is not completely fulfilled. We still need to go do this. So I don't want you to go shout it on the rooftops. I want you, leper, to go stand before the priest and you tell him, this law that condemned me, I am healed. And because I'm healed by Jesus of Nazareth, now put me through these things to bring me back into the community that I was kicked out of, back into the presence of God, back into the temple. We have to remember the law has no power to heal. If you're going to try to be good enough to fix yourself, those who don't know Christ, the law you're going to try to abide by is only going to condemn you. Christ heals you and brings you back into right relationship with your Creator. Go charge him to tell no one. In Mark's gospel, we see he went out again and began to talk freely about it, spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. So this leper, he didn't listen. He just went out and started telling people, which created more of a crowd and more of a fervor. More crowds, more need to pray. Back in Luke 5:15, but now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and be healed of their infirmities. More popular still. Because what did the people want? They wanted temporal healing. So they were all going to flock. But when they flocked to get the healing, what would they hear? The gospel. Teaching on the kingdom of God, perfect teaching. Now, but he, Jesus, would withdraw to desolate places and pray. One of these times he talks about going and being with God in prayer. We'll stop and we'll preach that longer because we're not going to hear, but I just wanted to see something about the humanity of Jesus. He often needed to go recharge with God. And that's what we see him doing. All these folks are coming and he goes to a desolate place and prays. He needs to be in communion with his God. And if Jesus needs that, how much more do you and I need that? How many of you had a really tough, busy week? Did you go to the Lord to recharge at any time in that week, honestly? And if you didn't, how are you going to be empowered to continue to live in the chaos? You're not, are you? Let's close by looking at the heart of this passage one more time. When he was in one of the cities, Jesus was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. Again, this man would have been a horrible sight to see and a horrible stench to smell. Desperate, he came into the city where he wasn't allowed to be. You know, some of the rabbis taught when you see a leper, you throw stones at them to get them away, almost like wild animals. You throw stones at them to get them away. This man risked everything to come in to the city. Because he knew he was hopeless. He knew he was under the judgment of God. He knew he could not heal himself. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I know you have the power. You can. You have the power. Do you want to heal me? You owe me nothing. I shouldn't even be standing before you, kneeling before you. But you can heal me." Look, this isn't about salvation in this verse. It's not even necessarily, but we are drawing this parallel that God draws to salvation. But I want us to know something as Christians. Even as Christians, he's willing. He's willing to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Can't act like you don't need it. And Jesus stretched out his hand. He not only stretched out his hand, he not only said, "I'm willing," he touched this nasty creature. He embraced this nasty creature, saying, "I will. I am willing. Be clean." And immediately, the leprosy left him. Charles Spurgeon: "The I will of an emperor may have great power of his dominions." So the I will of a king, of an emperor, has great power over what he has control of. But the I will of Christ drives death and hell out before him. The I will of Christ conquers disease, removes despair, and floods the world with mercy. The Lord's I will can put away your sin and make you perfectly holy. That's what the Lord's I will can do. Closing thought. Brethren, this is the good news we must proclaim to the spiritual lepers in our midst. Jesus stands willing to cleanse the souls of these spiritual lepers. He is calling to them today to come and be healed, see the rotting condition of their souls, and see the salvation of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget, Jesus is willing and able to save anyone who comes to him in faith. Do you believe this? Jesus is willing and able to save anyone who comes to him in faith. Jesus is willing, we need never doubt. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All mankind, whether they see it or not, are spiritual lepers in their hearts and in their souls. Vile, rotting, nasty stench before God. And that law can only condemn. You see, you can't be good enough. As I said before, Jesus will look in the eyes of a leper, a spiritual leper, and he will tell them, "I am willing. Come." Father, we thank you for this picture of this nasty, vile, smelly man who humbled himself and begged with Christ to heal him, to cleanse him. Father, it is undeniable that all mankind is spiritually lepers, and we have no power. We have no power like a man cannot change the color of his skin, or a leopard cannot get rid of his spots. We have no power to take care of that condition of our souls. Father, help those in here who have believed on Christ to remember that He still stands willing and ready to sanctify and cleanse us as we confess our sins. Father, would Your Spirit please move now and have those who don't yet know You see the wretchedness of their condition, have a great fear of the judgment that's upon them, and look to Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. For Your glory and for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's stand and sing hymn 78, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. 78, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.